This episode of HBR is brought to you by anhonesthost.com. Get 15% discount on all shared hosting with the offer code HBR15. That's HBR15. Better web hosting that's honest and fair at anhonesthost.com.
Welcome, this is Benny for Hacker Public Radio. This is episode HPR 1633 for November the 5th, 2014. In this episode, I talk to the organizers of OCCamp. The first interview is with Dan Lynch of Linux Outlaws, and we talk about OCCamp, organizing OCCamp, a bit of OCCamp last year. And the second interview is with Fab Scherschel, also from Linux Outlaws. We talk a bit more about Linux Outlaws, less OCCamp. And the last interview is with Mark Johnson from Ubuntu UK podcast. Again, we talk about OCCamp and especially organizing OCCamp in Oxford, because he's the man on the ground in Oxford. And so let's get started.
Okay, this is Benny for HPR, and I'm talking to
Dan Lynch of Linux Outlaws, and I'm one of the OCCamp organizers. We're here at OCCamp on the Sunday morning. Everyone's feeling bright and ready to go. We've all had a lot of sleep, and it's going to be good.
Right, can you tell me a bit about OCCamp? What's OCCamp?
That is a question I hear a lot. What is OCCamp? It is a two-day unconference, so it's a bar camp style event where we have talks that are submitted by the attendees. So the first year we ran OCCamp in 2009, we ran it as a kind of pure bar camp only format, and that was great. But a few people said one of the things they liked was being able to see who the speakers might, some of the speakers might be before they book tickets and before they travel. So we cheated and we kind of hacked the bar camp model. We forked it and we cheated. So now we have some scheduled talks, a few scheduled talks through the day that are kind of places people can kind of look and see, oh, so-and-so's on at that time, I'll go and check that out. And then around that, all the bar camp stuff kind of fills it out. We're in our fifth year now. This is the sixth OCCamp. We're in our fifth year. So we started 2009. It's grown pretty much every year. We're up to about, usually about 300 people or so now. And it's good. We're in Oxford for the first time. Not been to Oxford that much, so I'm getting used to it. And it's nice to see people here having a good time and having fun.
What's the reason for choosing Oxford this year?
The reason is that Mark lives in Oxford. That's the whole reason that it's here. I can't lie. But yeah, that's the reason. So what happens is we've got a small organizing team, and what we found is it's really a lot easier if you do it in a venue or in a place where one of the organizing team is local and they can do the local kind of running around, find out about venues and so on. So in the last two years, I've done that in Liverpool, being the kind of local person on the ground. And this year, Mark, he lives in Oxford, and he said, oh, let's do it in Oxford, I'll find a venue, and he's done that, and we're all here, and it's cool.
Great. And how do you find the venue compared to what you had in Liverpool?
That's an interesting question. For me, it's a lot more difficult because I live over the road from the venue in Liverpool, so I just have to like get out of bed and walk down the stairs and I'm there. It's a bit further for us, but it's been different. Yeah, we're in a hotel this year, so it feels a little bit different. We were in a university building before, which was cool. There's definitely swings and roundabouts. The tea and coffee and stuff's a lot more expensive here, I've noticed that. I don't know if that's a fair comment or not, but it's been good. Yeah, I mean, the conference room's really nice. The exhibition space that we're in right now is working really well. The only thing we haven't managed to do yet is the outdoor kind of soldering sessions, which we're not too far from, but we're hoping to do those today, because yesterday it was really, really heavily raining, windy, not the best weather to get out with your soldering iron and sit under a gazebo. But today, we're hoping to do that. Skies are clear, so get some people out there, do some hardware hacking as well. That'd be good.
Is there a reason that it's in a hotel this year and not in a university building? Because Oxford is known for its university, so...
Yeah, it's not like they haven't got a university in Oxford. I believe they've got one. I've heard it's quite good. It's a nice little university that's they've starting up. They're trying hard, and the reason it's not in a university building, I don't know, because we couldn't get a university building, I think. Although Mark works for Oxford University, I think, so I don't know why we can't get one. But it's in a hotel because it was a venue we could find and we could hire and stuff. So in the past 2 years, we've had a venue sponsored in Liverpool. We had sponsorship from Liverpool John Moores University, and they were able to kind of give us their venue almost free, which was amazing. So this year we've had to pay out a lot more money, but it's different. It's nice to try different places, and we had to get it ready, bring our own projectors and so on. But one of the things about doing it in university is all the classrooms have got projectors and computers and everything ready to go. But you know, our amazing crew have pulled it together, and we brought some projectors and other things, and it's all hanging together nicely at the minute.
Can you tell me something about the name? The name sounds a bit weird for a bar camp event like.
It's very odd. We get a lot of people asking what we're going to talk about in relation to the OG. Vorbis or OG Theora containers and formats and so on. The reason it became known as OG Camp, I actually suggested that name, I'll be honest. And we've toyed with changing it because people don't understand what it's about. So the idea is that because we're not just about free software and open source technology, we're also about free culture. We try and talk about, we have Creative Commons content. We have artists and musicians and all kinds of things, not just hackers, and we like to mix them all up. Actually, to be honest, a lot of the hackers are like musicians or artists or painters, or so they like to, you know, mix it up. And so we wanted a name that kind of summed up free culture and free software. So the idea was, it's about media, we're all podcasters as well, so the OG format was made sense. So we could call it OG. It's a bar camp, so it was OG Camp, basically, was how it came together.
All right, great, thank you. Is there anything else you'd like our listeners to know, like where to find your podcast or anything?
Where to find stuff. So if you go to danlynch.org, that's my main website, you can find Linux Outlaws on there. You can find Floss Weekly. There's a Floss Weekly feed from Twit, which I host occasionally. And there's also a Rat Hole Radio feed as well for people who are into music and Creative Commons music and stuff. So that's the best place to go. All the social media stuff's on there, so you can find my Twitter feed, and it's at MethodDan on Twitter. But danlynch.org's the place. There's a contact form on there if you want to drop me an email, say hello. I'm always happy to speak to people, so come and say hello.
Right, great, thank you. It was great talking to you.
Thank you very much.
All right, this is Benny for HPR, and I'm talking to
Fab. Fab's voice is gone for some reason. Sorry about that. You might know me from a little show I do called Linux Outlaws. Maybe not.
All right. Could you tell me anything about this show? I think I already got Dan Lynch, and he told me a bit about it, but your name didn't come up. So tell me the whole thing from your perspective.
So now if I tell you something completely different, this will be... this will maybe cause a ruckus. I don't know. It's a show we started in 2007, so that would be 7 years ago, because I came back from Australia and my English was deteriorating, and I just wanted to talk to somebody who was a native speaker. And at the time we were on a social network called Jaiku, which nobody knows anymore, and then went to Identica later on. And we just talked about, like, he was posting about Linux, I was posting about Linux, and I went, let's start a podcast. What shall we talk about? Well, Linux. And the funny thing is, these days, people really expect us to talk about Linux, but actually LO was always just us waffling a lot as well. And in the beginning, we didn't have that many listeners, and people didn't mind. But now it's just like people tune in the show, and they're like, the first 30 minutes we talk about like dead Hollywood stars that recently died, like, I don't know, random crap, like Dan recording music or me riding around on a motorcycle, and people are like, they're not talking about Linux at all. But it was always kind of that way. So yeah, that's that.
Right. What did you change? You told me that you grew. What did you change over time while you grew?
One big thing Dan did was like, obviously we got a lot of feedback, and he was always very good at including what other, you know, when people write us emails or when they're in our forum and they say something, and Dan was always very keen on reading that out and, you know, engaging with the listeners. So that's one thing, although that happened quite early on. We changed the format we do things a few times. Like, we used to have segments where we would do open source releases and talk about news and talk about stuff Microsoft did wrong. We had a segment for that, and I changed that. I decided, well, I asked Dan obviously, but we decided to change this a while ago, because I noticed that just the stuff we talk about was it was weird. Like, we talk about a lot of news, so that was the biggest segment, so like the segments they were disproportionate, and I think they didn't work anymore. So now we just mix it up and we just talk about anything, really. It's changed with the time, like with the things we've been doing. So for a while Dan was doing a lot of music recording and stuff in open source. We talk a lot about that. Obviously I was writing for an open source website in the UK, so we talked a lot about, you know, Linux and other open source stuff at that point. Now I'm doing security stuff in Germany, so we talk a lot about security. It was just because that's the stuff I come across, which obviously a lot of that impacts Linux, but sometimes it just doesn't. And so the show just changes with our lives, I guess, as well. We had a bit of a rough time when I lost my job in the UK and I had to move back to Germany, and then we didn't record for like 2 months or something, and that was weird. Because, I don't know, one of the things I've noticed is if you don't do this like every week or every 2 weeks, you kind of like, you stop doing it because it's a lot of work. If you have a routine and you do it every week, that's kind of, you stick with it. Like, if you pause for 2 months, like for example, Ubuntu UK podcast, they do seasons, so they do a break over the holidays. I don't know how they get the will to continue the show after the break. Like, I wouldn't. If we stopped for that long time, I'm sure I would say, this is just too much hassle, I don't want to start again. So, yeah.
Right. You told me you run this little podcast, but probably you're one of the biggest, if not the biggest, Linux podcast listener-wise. So, how is that for you? How does it feel to be, like, famous in the Linux community?
I don't know. The thing is, we don't do the show because we have a lot of listeners. We probably wouldn't do the show if we had only like 10 listeners. Like, in the beginning we started, we thought it was a good idea, and then we thought, let's see if people listen to it. And then people, like, at the point where we got like 100, maybe 200 people listening to it, we thought, yeah, we keep doing this. Like, that was enough. And then you get a lot more listeners, and it's actually been going down again. I think it peaked at about, I don't know, 6,000-7,000 downloads, kind of ish. It's kind of hard to track, but that's like kind of the downloads I can track. There's a lot more torrents and stuff, and they're not all listeners, because lots of people just have their podcatcher on download. And the one thing that changed is you get a lot more feedback, and you get a lot of more people saying, well, you should talk more about Linux, and you should talk about more about this and that. And we took some of the stuff on board, but some stuff we're just like, no, like, this is LO, we waffle, we talk about random stuff, we don't want to change that. And I always been very much on the fence of, like, if you don't like the show, listen to another show. Like, I err on the side, I want to do a show that I have fun with, versus I want to have the maximum amount of listeners, because then I would have to change the show a lot. Like, I swear a lot, so a lot of people say, you swear, I can't listen to this. And then, yeah, there's like a lot of other Linux podcasts, and we've always mentioned them. Like, there's lots of podcasts where they don't mention other shows, and we've never done this, like, because we were always like, okay, if you like Ubuntu, it's probably better to listen to the Ubuntu UK podcast, because they talk about Ubuntu all the time. Or if you like Mint, you probably should listen to Mintcast or something like that. So yeah, as for the famous bit, I don't know. It's kind of funny. We used to go to Luck Radio Live. Obviously, this is OcCamp, which came out of when they stopped doing Luck Radio Live. And I can remember the first Luck Radio Live when Dan and me went there, and we had a table, and nobody knew us. we were sitting behind this table, and people were coming to the table and asking, what are you doing? Like, what is this? And we had to explain that. And that went away the year afterwards. Like, the obviously, and then after that, I don't know when that was. That must have been 2009, 2008, something. After that, we obviously got a lot more listeners, and then everybody started, like, I started to be at a conference standing next to somebody. Like, I was at FOSDEM, which is a huge conference, and I was talking to somebody, and the guy next to me turns around and said, are you Fab? I recognize your voice. And that was cool. Like, that's fun. But then on the other hand, like, people always say, like, how does it feel to be, like, famous? And it's like, this is the Linux community. The Linux community is incredibly small. Like, you, when you're around for 5 years, you know everybody, and you notice, like, the people, what job they get and what company they go to, and they switch around. Everybody knows everybody. It's amazing. So I actually do not consider that famous. It's kind of nice, you know, you're in the bar, everybody buys you a beer, that's cool. Yeah, it's just cool. It's not, like, I think if you're really famous, it's annoying. Like, if you're Bruce Springsteen, you walk down the street, that's being famous. Everybody comes up to you, it's like, play a song. So it's not on the level of being annoying, but you get bought beers at conferences. So I think it's best of both worlds, really.
So you talked about the feedback. Did the feedback ever reach a level where you have problems to cope with it, like to answer to everything or mention everyone?
We can't read every email we get, but, like, Dan, that's the thing Dan keeps takes care of amazingly. Like, he takes care of, like, even if we don't read out the email, he takes care to just mention people's names. And so, no, I didn't, never went to a level where I couldn't cope with it. Like, I've got too much email anyway, so that's hard. But we have a thing where we, like, either we answer email directly, and then maybe if it's an interesting discussion we are having, an email with the listener, we'll mention it on the show, or we'll just mention their name and say that they wrote us, and we obviously wrote back. So we can, it never reached a level where you can't engage with people. Like, on Twitter, sometimes it's hard to do because you just get a lot of ad replies and stuff. But no, not really. I mean, there was some. Sometimes you get, like, difficult feedback, but I'm very hard to, like, shock, or, like, I'm pretty, like, if somebody sends me, like, incredibly offensive email, I'll just send back, you know, go fuck yourself, you know, like, just listen to another show, which actually works really well. It does work well. The people go away, you know, like, I'm never gonna listen to you. You used God's name in vain. Yeah, it's what I do. Get used to it, you know. It's that, but that takes a very special kind of mindset. And I think people always ask me, like, if you want to start a podcast, what's the things you got to be aware of? And I would say one thing is, if you start it, starting a podcast is incredibly easy. Keeping it going beyond 20 episodes. I speak as somebody who started several podcasts that died after, like, 5 episodes. It's incredibly hard to keep it up. And the other thing is, you got to be prepared. If you put yourself out on the internet, you got to be prepared with people, like, shouting at you. And I think that's not only if you do a podcast. I mean, if you do a Linux distribution, you know this. People, if you do something people use, you create an app or whatever, you will get feedback, and you will also get, like, just incredibly stupid, mean feedback. And you just gotta. I mean, I can deal with that really well. And Dan's, funny enough, Dan's very different from me, but he can cope with it in a completely different way. I just go fuck off, and then goes, well, that's not a valid point, whatever. I'm not bothered. So, yeah, that's, yeah. I hope that answered that question, because I forgot the question by now.
All right, great. Well, it was great talking to you. Could you tell our listeners, if they want to find you or your podcast, where do they go?
Well, if you go to sixgun.org, you'll find the podcast. If you want to find me, I'm Fab, F-A-B, at sixgun.org, or you can go on Twitter, at Fab, you can find me. That's Foxtrot Alpha Bravo Sierra Hotel.
Right, great. Thank you. It was nice talking to you.
No worries.
Let's go. Right, this is Benny for HPR, and I'm speaking to
Mark Johnson. Am I supposed to say something more than that?
Well, you can, but you don't have to, because I'm going to ask you questions.
Okay.
All right, but what's your role in OCCAMP? Because you've got a crew badge, so...
Well, this year I have been sort of the man on the ground doing a lot of the organising in terms of booking the venue and, scoping out the local area, sorting out the schedule, stuff like that. I mean, my role over the past couple of years has been focused on the schedule, booking the scheduled speakers, working out how we're going to run the unconference tracks. This year, it's been a bit more full-on. I've been doing bits of pretty much everything this year.
Right, so this year you have been the local man here from Oxford, right?
Yeah, exactly. So the last couple of years we did it in Liverpool, which was just down the road from Dan's house. So Dan was the man on the ground that time, and this time it's in Oxford because it's just down the road from me. So that's generally how it works in terms of choosing our locations. Where is there someone who is willing to take on that role and do sort of the groundwork?
So how hard was it to find a venue in Oxford for OCCAMP to take place?
Well, there's a lot of venues in Oxford, but the trouble is they tend to be not quite the right size. They either have one very big room or lots of very small rooms, but not a big room and then some small rooms, which is what we need to fit everybody in and fit in the various tracks that we do. So in fact, it really did come down to the venue we ended up in. There may be others which I hadn't heard of, but it's actually amazing how few venues get back to you when you inquire. You'd have thought they'd be more eager for your custom, but maybe they didn't like the sound of us.
So did you try to get, like last year, in any university place, or was it just the hotel?
There is like a sort of conference service that the university provides, so all of the Oxford University colleges have conference facilities. Partly the time of year we did it made it a bit trickier, because the students just coming back, so it means they don't have as much capacity, but also the way that the Oxford University is organised is quite different to the way that most other universities are organised, in that they tend to cater for much sort of smaller, more focused groups of students rather than enormous lectures with like hundreds or thousands of people. So it's a lot easier to do it in another university rather than Oxford. I did also look at Oxford Brookes, the other university, and they do have more of the sort of facilities that we had last year, but unfortunately they weren't available.
Right, now we're at the end of OCCAMP in Oxford, so yes. Did it turn out the way you wanted it to, or are there things you say, I'll do that different next time?
Oh, there's always things which we say we'll do different next time. I mean, this time, quite a few things didn't quite go to plan. Our scheduling system broke down before we started, which is a good time for it to break down, because it meant that we could switch to the backup we had planned. I'm not sure about specific things at the moment which I'd do differently, because I think I have to... Yeah, we need to sit and digest what's happened and how things went and the feedback we've received from people throughout the weekend, and have a think about what we might do differently next time.
Right, but there will be a next time, if you say next time.
I hope so, but at this point we can't guarantee anything, I'm afraid, because it involves a lot of things in terms of finding a venue, finding someone who can liaise with the venue, finding enough sponsorship that we can cover the costs, things like that.
So, if there is a next time, do you plan to do it in Oxford again, or do you more prefer to switch the venue?
I think I'd prefer to switch the venue, purely because I don't think I've got the energy to do it another year in on the trot. It's not saying that I wouldn't do it again, but I don't think I would do it again straight away, because I've got a job to do as well and other things going on, and it is quite a big commitment to organise something like OCCAMP, because it's a big event and there's a lot of... Even though it's an unconference, so you think, oh well, they just put the venue, people turn up. But because we're more than just the unconference, we've also got the scheduled track, we've also got merchandise and the raffle, and we've got the exhibition and like social events going on. It makes it... there is actually it's like organising a full event.
All right, great. Well, it's great talking to you. Is there anything you'd like our listeners to know, like where to find you on the internet, or where to find your podcast or anything?
Oh yeah, I also do a podcast, the Ubuntu podcast. That's podcast.ubuntu-uk.org. Thanks for asking. In terms of OCCAMP stuff though, OCCAMP.org is our website. We're also OCCAMP on Twitter. I think I'm going to try and set up some sort of more permanent online community, because at the moment we don't have anything like a mailing list or a forum for members of the Ogg community to communicate outside of the event, which I think is a shame, because I think that we could do a much better job of sort of leveraging the community's knowledge and contacts and energy to help us organize Ogg Camp with, you know, without it all requiring like one or two people to take on most of the work. I think there's a lot of scope for, I think there's also going to be the willing as well for the people who come to Ogg Camp and enjoy it and want it to keep happening, to, you know, help out. So I'm going to be looking to do that, and we'll be publishing details of that on the website and on Twitter.
All right, great. Thank you. It was nice talking to you. I'm looking forward to next Ogg Camp.
Thanks very much. Cheers.
All right, those were the interviews. Thank you for listening to HPR. If you try to contact me, you'll find me on SDF. That's Benny on sdf.org. Or you'll also find me on StatusNet on FragDev. That's Navigium at micro.fragdev.com. So it would be great to hear from you. And of course, you could always record your own episode and leave a comment there. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club, and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.